kicking off Advent, and what Advent simply means is coming, the coming of Jesus, the appearance of Jesus. Advent actually has three particular focuses in terms of the coming of Jesus. It refers back to when Jesus first appeared, his first coming, his birth as a baby, coming as a man who at the same time was God, who entered time and space. That's the first Advent. We look back on that a little over 2,000 years ago. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. But Advent is also about Jesus' continual coming to us in the now, in the now. There's a real sense in which even though we are born again, we need to often cry out, Jesus, be born again in me. Jesus, be born again in me. And it does not mean you're getting saved all over again. It does not mean salvation didn't stick the first time it happened. But it does mean that awareness of Jesus in us needs to come back afresh on a regular basis. It's about an intimacy with him that's real and not based on simply theological knowledge that says, I believed, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. That's good stuff. But there needs to be an intimacy that is ongoing. And that Advent, that coming of Jesus in that intimacy of awareness of his presence in us needs to be constant and ongoing. And then there's a third sense in which Advent is very real and should be very real for us. And it is the recognition, the awareness, the looking forward in hope to the return of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, when he first entered history as a baby, as he lived his perfect life, as he died on the cross, as he rose again from the dead, as he ascended into heaven, all of it was with an awareness and a declaration that he was returning again, that he was returning again. And so we're looking at all of that as we look at Advent. Now, what we're going to be doing today is jumping into a discussion on how we ought to be ending 2021 and entering into 2022. Today is for you. If this past year has been one of discouragement, if it's been one of confusion, if it's been one of fear, today's about how to find the strength to make the choice to reach for hope instead of settling for discouragement and for fear. What we're going to do today is to try to learn a little bit about hope and what to do with it. I would suggest to you that learning about hope and how to maintain it is one of the, if not the most important aspects of being a follower of Jesus Christ. There's no way that someone can be a good follower of Jesus Christ unless they understand what hope is and grab hold of it. Tim Keller said one time, and I've repeated this so many times before, but it just resonates with me so much. Tim Keller said, people who do not have a proper understanding of Christian hope are always freaked out. And basically, you can look back at 2020, at 2021, and you can kind of understand as you look around, or maybe as you look in the mirror, what people had a good understanding of Christian hope and what people didn't. It doesn't mean you're not a follower of Jesus if you got freaked out over the past 2 years, but it does mean that you don't have a good handle on what Christian hope is really all about, on what this matter of having hope is all about. Today, we're going to title this sermon, An Odyssey Towards Theodicy. You got it? An Odyssey Towards Theodicy. Everybody knows what that means, right? Okay. We're not going to talk about it a lot. I will tell you what it means. Theodicy is defined this way. Theodicy is a firm belief in the goodness of God no matter how bad the situation looks. That's the definition of theodicy. It is a basic concept of the Christian life, even though you don't know the name and don't need to remember the name, a basic concept of the Christian life that is absolutely essential for us to hold on to. Odyssey is, if you've ever read Homer, Odyssey is an adventure. It's a series of experiences. And basically, our life should be an odyssey towards theodicy. Adventures and experiences that we have where the goodness of God comes through in circumstances that don't look anything like good to us. But still, we see it happening. In large part, it's dependent upon how we choose to handle things. It's dependent on what we choose to do with our life. It's dependent on how we choose to think. The world right now in 2021, from my perspective, is more desperate for hope than any other time than I can recall in my life. I mean, the whole world is desperate for hope. The whole world is in a position of discouragement, much of the world in a position of fear. Now, as Christians, sometimes we think, well, you know, they just need more information about God. They need more information about Jesus. And that is true to a degree. But information alone isn't going to get us where we need to be. Information alone doesn't provide people with hope. We have to have an information that then transitions into the intimacy of relationship that Jesus intends us to have with him. We've got to have an information source that moves towards real intimacy, true intimacy with God, that actually believes that he loves us, that actually believes that he is good and knows our situations, that actually believes that he's watching over your life and mine and intends in his sovereign will to see us fulfill the purposes and the destinies that he's got for each one of us. It's a matter of truly having something that goes beyond simply knowledge and moving into what is often called relationship. Knowledge is good, it's necessary, but it's not a substitute for intimacy with God. I think right now, today, it is time for some of us, some of you perhaps that are home right now, to uncross your arms. Okay, to uncross your arms. Now, I'm talking metaphorically, I'm not pointing anybody out. It was cold in here 7:30, we had a dozen or 18 people with their arms crossed as they were in here. No, it's a metaphorical uncrossing of our arms with an openness that says, God, I believe you are. I believe you know me. I believe that I am an image bearer of Jesus Christ in this generation. I believe that hope is possible. I believe that your promises are real. I believe that you've got a purpose for me to fulfill in this generation and stepping out and doing it. And having that uncrossed attitude, uncrossed arm attitude, that openness of attitude that says, come on in again, Lord Jesus, be born again in me. Take up that resonance and let me hear your voice again. Let me understand the call that you've got on my life. Let me understand how to act today and tomorrow and each day that we step into, knowing that I need that intimacy of direction from you every single day in order to walk this life out effectively. I mean, right now, we're not socially distanced, but we're safe, I feel like. If you're comfortable doing this, put the hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, and let's just pray together real quickly here. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name for this person next to me as an image bearer of you, that we be filled again, fresh, with a hope in the reality of your presence in our life, that we'd be encouraged now today to step into 2022, to finish out 2021 with our eyes fixed on the reality of your promises. Come, Holy Spirit, now to this brother, this sister next to me, and fill them fresh with power, with excitement, with expectation that rises above whatever circumstances they're walking in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The idea is to get real about things. Okay. What you just did. You did it because I asked you to do it, okay? It could have been a ritual. It could have been simply an empty motion or matter that you went through. But what it's supposed to be is something that's done with an expectation that the Father watches and hears. The Father listens and answers. The Father does what we ask him to do when we're asking things that are lined up with his will. And that, I believe, was God's will. It's his will for us to be filled and refilled. It's his will for us to walk in this encouragement and this expectation that he intends for us, that he intends for us to live out. The hope that we're going to have, to finish out this year, the hope that we are going to have and going to need for 2022 is a hope that requires vision. That's how hope comes. Hope comes from vision. Vision comes from revelation. We have to have revelation from God that establishes vision for us and where we're going, and that vision gives us hope. We're hoping in the vision that comes from God's revelation. Example of that, let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll make this a Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, you got the Magi. The Magi have seen a star. They're way off from Israel, from Jerusalem. And they've traveled weeks or months, perhaps, after having seen the star, to come and worship Jesus. Now, Jesus is already born. I know it gets confusing at Christmas time because you have these manger scenes, and you got the shepherds, and you got the magi, the wise men, all standing around. The wise men weren't there when Jesus was born. They came later, okay? What does it say? Matthew chapter 2, what happened? They get to Jerusalem and they say, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him." Now that's wonderful. That's great. But think about it. These guys traveled weeks, perhaps months, to get to the place to worship Jesus. How did they do that? Why did they do that? Because they had a vision. They had a vision from God. They pursued Jesus because of the vision. The only way we're going to pursue Jesus, the only way we're going to pursue the intimacy of relationship with him is if we've got a vision that comes from revelation. Where does revelation for that come from? I mean, do you just get it dumped on you if you come up for prayer after the service today? Maybe. But the most common way for revelation to come, to release vision in your life, is right here. Right here. It's taking the word of God, saying, "Holy Spirit, speak to me through your word. Let me understand, let me know it, but most importantly, let me know how you want it applied in my life. Make it come alive to me now. Let it be the living word to me now." Don't wait until January 1 to start your Bible reading plan for 2022. The idea is to start now. We have free Bibles outside. We have them every week. Pick one up if you don't have a Bible. If you pick it up this week and lose it, get another one next week. We don't care. They're free. Get it. This is how revelation comes. This is how vision will be established. This is what you need to be doing in order to have hope built up in you to finish the year out, to start the new year. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to date me, that everybody's not going to agree with. You don't have to take this as gospel, but I believe it is. If your Bible reading involves something that has an on-off switch on it, get a Bible that has pages with no on-off switch on it. You know what I'm talking about? Electronic devices, your iPhone, your iPad, those are fine things to have in addition to, but you need a Bible. You need the real thing that's written down that you can read. It's to not have that and to just go with the on-off switch, it's kind of like an old man wearing short shorts. It's just not right. It's just not right. It's like you've got to have this thing in your hand. It's something I know, like I said, maybe it dates me a bit, but I don't see how you can get by without having the comfort of that written word where you wear out a Bible every few years and have to get another one. It's the idea that something, again, from my experience, something different comes through the power that happens as the written word is taken in, that's taken in that way. Okay, so revelation. Revelation is something that's necessary for vision. Vision is necessary for hope. Vision comes from the Bible, and the hope that comes with vision is something that requires focus. It's something that requires focus. Now, the idea as we look back at 2021, I think, is that we know, or should know very well, that both fear and hope are a product of focus. You have fear that has come up because of what you focused on. You have hope that can overcome fear that comes in because of what you choose to focus on. Let's look at the classic example of focus with Peter. Peter, who wants to walk on water. What happens with Peter? Well, let's look at the story in Matthew. Can we pull that up? Matthew 14, verses 28 to 31. Context is, Jesus has come walking across the Sea of Galilee, right? And Peter sees him coming, and he wants to walk on water too. And so what happens? He sees Jesus, and Peter says to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Yeah, good deal, come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But Peter, seeing the wind, became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And then immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, again, you're familiar with the story, most of you. Peter, as long as his focus was on Jesus, was okay, but when his focus shifted to the wind and the waves, that's when he sank. Point is, this guy actually walked on water. He did. Now, let me take the story just a little bit further and ask you a question. If there had been no storm, no wind, and no waves, would it have been any easier for Peter to walk on water? Could you walk on water if it's a clear day versus not being able to walk on water if it's a cloudy day? I mean, a miracle is involved in both instances, right? The point of this is, It's not about the conditions. Peter's walking on the water or sinking ultimately was not about the conditions. It was about his courage, which was dependent upon his focus. He didn't sink because of the storm. He sank because he put his focus on the storm. You see where this is going? I hope you do. The idea is the circumstances did not make Peter sink. The choice of where Peter put his focus was what caused Peter to sink. It's the same way with each one of us. Right now, today, it's not about conditions. It's about our courage. It's about where we put our focus. Hope today is powered by our focus. We don't need COVID to go away or any of the variants of COVID to go away to fix our hope or remove our fear. We do not need those things to go away to fix our hope or remove our fear. We do not need political changes in Washington to fix our hope or remove our fear. What do we have to do? The same thing that Peter had to do. Don't fix your attention on the storms. Don't fix your attention on the circumstances, no matter what those circumstances might look like. It's the idea, again, that fear comes in as we do that. And what did Jesus say? Luke 8:50, Jesus said very simply, "Do not be afraid, only believe." But the devil comes in, or our own inner voice shouts out, "What if? What if? What if COVID-19 never goes away? What if the variants that come in are more deadly than the original germ that entered into the system? What if politics go from bad to worse? What if we actually have mandated vaccines for those who don't want to take vaccines, where they're held down and forced to get a shot? What if we're locked in our homes and can't go out without a mandated vaccine? Or what if we can't shop? Or what if we can't do this? Or what if we can't do that?" The what ifs go on and on and on. And what happens with the what ifs? Well, back to Tim Keller's idea, we go crazy. I mean, we freak out as we focus in on all of the what ifs and what comes into play. Fear takes over when I give more attention and focus to my what ifs than God's promises. Fear is very simply misplaced faith. Fear is about what we choose to believe in the most. And if you choose to believe that the powers that be in Washington have more power in your life than God, if you choose to believe that the diseases that attack this earth have more power over world circumstances than the sovereign creator, then you're placing faith in those things that you're afraid of. And this is about the idea that we've got to be able to shift from those things and look at what we're focusing on, whether we're focusing on the promises of God or the what ifs. Now, here's the thing. The Bible never says that followers of Jesus won't receive bad news. It never says that we're not going to get bad news coming into our lives. In fact, it promises that we are going to receive bad news. But what it tells us is that we need to be people who know how to handle bad news with a good perspective. It's not Pollyanna. It's not playing like it doesn't exist, but it's putting that predominance of focus on God. It's putting the predominance of our attention on the promises that God has made. We've got to just understand how we fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, you've probably heard this before too. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It's the idea presented here in Hebrews that we understand what it means to fix our eyes on Jesus. What is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Among other things, besides being Savior, He's the purchaser of the promises of God. As you look at what Paul wrote in Corinthians, it tells us that all of the promises of God are now yes, and we can say amen, let them be done, because of Jesus' blood being shed on the cross. Now, it doesn't create the name it and claim it kind of attitude that some people take on, but it does and should create a believe it and receive it kind of attitude in terms of what God brings into play. This section, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, was a life preserver for me 26 years ago. 26 years ago, I left my job in Florida and brought family to Hawaii and was scared to death, Had very little money, didn't know what we were going to do when we got here, but definitely felt the call of God to come. And so took the steps to do it. And the only way I was able to survive it in terms of emotions and mental stability was actually just continuing to look at Hebrews 12, 2 and apply it, fixing my eyes on Jesus, fixing my eyes on the promises that he's not going to have his children begging bread in the streets, fixing my eyes on, again, what I was confident that he called me to do. I mean, the idea is we can't walk by sight. We've got to walk by faith. And most of the time, as we walk through this life, as you finish out 2021, as you move into 2022, you're going to find that you can't fix the situations that you're in. You probably are not going to be able to fix the whole vaccination situation. You probably are not going to be able to fix the COVID-19 pandemic. You probably are not going to be able to fix Washington or even Honolulu or even Hilo in terms of the government goings on. Doesn't mean that we don't play a part. Doesn't mean that we don't enter in to the degree that we have some influence. But it's facing up to the fact that perhaps this is not where your primary focus is supposed to be. You're not going to be able to fix the problems, but you can always fix your focus. Don't let the frustration with your inability to fix the problems put you in a place where you don't understand that hope is going to come not by fixing the problems, not by changing the circumstances, but by fixing the focus that we're supposed to have. Your courage cannot depend on the circumstances. Your hope cannot depend on the circumstances, but your courage and your hope depend on what you choose to focus your attention on, putting our focus on the promises, putting our focus on who Jesus Christ is. I was listening to a message from Tony Evans, really great pastor, and he was telling about the fact that he and his wife were stuck in New York City in 2003. In 2003, August of 2003, there was this huge blackout on the East Coast. Weird things happened up in Canada that came down to the East Coast power grid, wiped out all electricity on the East Coast of the U.S. for a while. They were in LaGuardia Airport getting ready to take off on a flight in August when all the electricity went out. They couldn't take off. Everybody's rushing to get a hotel room. He and his wife finally get the last room in a Marriott or something in New York City. Nice hotel, 5-star hotel. They get there, though, no lights. Candles taking them to their room. No air conditioning, restaurants not serving food. They're pretty frustrated, but they're, you know, grateful they have a room. They come down to the lobby, they look across the street, and across the street, there's one hotel all lit up, completely lit up. In fact, people are sitting in the lobby watching CNN on the news screens in the lobby talking about the blackout in New York City. They're eating dinner, they're going on having a great old time. So Tony and his wife walk over, and they find an assistant manager, and they say, "What's going on here? How are you guys all lit up and everything else is dark?" And this is a quote from the assistant manager. The assistant manager said, "When we built this hotel, we made sure there was power on the inside that's not controlled by circumstances on the outside." That's who we're supposed to be. That's who God created, built us to be. People with power on the inside that is not dependent on circumstances on the outside. It's our choice on what we focus on. It's our choice in terms of what we're actually going to have a focus on, that power that's innately in us through the Holy Spirit and the promises that God has made that can be activated by the Holy Spirit, or focus on the circumstances that come in on the outside. Let's look at another good example of how this all works out in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. In Lamentations chapter 3, God is speaking to Isaiah the prophet. or excuse me, Jeremiah the prophet, and says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. This is what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah is saying, look, I recall this to mind, what I'm about to read. I'm recalling this to mind, and when I recall it to mind, this is why I have hope, and this is what he recalls to mind. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. Great is your faithfulness. Your compassions are new every morning. Your faithfulness is new every morning. He recalls this to mind continually. He chooses to focus on this continually, and as he focuses on this continually, what happens? Hope comes in. Hope comes up. Hope prevails. It's a matter of, again, choosing. It's choosing what we call to mind. It's choosing what we choose to focus upon. What do we do with all this? We accept the revelation of God from Scripture. We accept Lamentations chapter 3. We accept Hebrews chapter 12. We accept all of the revelations of the promises of God in Scripture as the vision that God wants to promote our life, and we connect his revelation as being true with our own words. That is, we agree with God. That's what hope is about. It's about agreeing with God. What happens for so many of us is we're in a situation in this year as we finish it out, and it's going to be there at the beginning of next year, I'm confident, where you can either agree with God in terms of his promises, in terms of the hope he has out there, or you can agree with the predominant atmosphere around you. You can agree with the bad news is coming in. You can agree that it's all going to hell in a handbasket. It might be going somewhere in a handbasket, but you know you're not going to hell if you know Jesus. The idea is that it's about understanding where our focus is to be with these things. Again, promises of God, the revelation of God that comes in and agreeing with him with the words that we speak. You can test yourself on whether you are actually connecting with God's revelation and whether you're connecting his revelation with your words. Very simple. A couple of questions on the test to test yourself on this. Test yourself on this maybe this coming Friday. Did you talk more about how bad things are or how big your God is? Did you talk more about your concerns over mandated vaccines? Did you talk more about the Omicron variant coming out of Africa? Did you talk more about bad decisions that you disagree with coming from Honolulu, Washington, or Hilo? Or did you talk more about the bigness of your God in these situations as you're excited to wait and see what he's going to work out through all of this? Another test question. At the end of the week, did you talk more about how bad the supply chain issues are or the promises of Jehovah Jireh who said he will give us all we need? Now, I may be engendering fear as I let you know about this if you don't already know, but Costco yesterday ran out of all Christmas wrapping paper and they made the announcement they will get no more Christmas wrapping paper in for the rest of this year. That was on December 4th. Oh, yeah, I know. So you go, what does that mean? I mean, is that an indication there's going to be no more toilet paper? Is that an indication? And the list goes on and on and on. And the hoarding starts, I know, as soon as the service is over. The idea is as these things come in, you don't throw common sense out the window. Make sure you have enough toilet paper in stock. But the idea is that you understand where the focus is supposed to be. Is it going to be on the bad news? Is it going to be on conversations that center around these things? Or is it going to be with agreement on the promises that God has made, on the description God has given of who he is, Jehovah Jireh, of who he is, the Father who loves us, who's not going to have his children begging bread in the streets, and who is going to make provision for us to fulfill the destinies that he's got in place for any one of us. The question really boils down to, are you magnifying God? You know, sometimes we're worshipers around here. We love to worship. Daniel Lema did such a great job. Chris McCall does such a great job out of Pine Trees. We love worshiping. We've got Andrew West. We've got all sorts of nationalities represented in our worship. But here's the thing. Magnifying God is not simply about raising our hands up on Sunday mornings and worshiping him. That's a small part of what it means to magnify God. Magnifying God is exactly as the word would indicate. Magnifying God means making God bigger. What happens when you magnify something? You make it appear bigger. The question is, are you magnifying God in your conversations? Are you magnifying God, making him bigger in terms of how you're living out your life? As you tell people, as you act like you're a person with hope in the promises of God. Hope based on what God has promised is going to happen, based on the promises God has given us. Hope that then becomes the goal to which our faith walks. Hope is the thing to which our faith is to be attached. Without hope, there is no faith. Without hope, you don't have anything to put faith in. Our faith is in the hope, the living hope of Jesus Christ, but also the hope that are his promises. God's promises are hope. Faith is the action we take on a daily basis in the now, walking towards the hope that's out there in the future. This is how we're supposed to live. This is how we magnify God, as we have hope that comes up in his promises, where God in our lives is bigger than the circumstances that everybody else is worried about, that everybody else has fear about. So are we magnifying him, or are we magnifying discouragement? Are we magnifying, making bigger anything that creates fear for people? I mean, are you a magnifier of fear? Are you a magnifier of the bad stuff that's going on? Is that where your voice goes, where your actions take you? Let's take another very common example as we wind things up today. The 12 spies going into the promised land. What do you have? 12 spies go into Canaan, representatives of Israel, that are going in to check out the promised land, the land that God has promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And you've probably seen the pictures in Sunday school before. They come out of that promised land, a land that's overflowing with prosperity and milk and honey. They come out carrying these grapes that are big as apples. You know, they're carrying these huge grapes, going to make some great wine this season. And they come out and they say, yeah, it is flowing with milk and honey. It is a prosperous, wonderful land, but there are giants there. And we look like ants in the face of those giants. That's what 10 of the spies said. Of course, 2 of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, it's flowing with milk and honey. Forget the giants. Look at God. Our God's bigger than any of the giants. But majority ruled. The 10 spies' report held sway over the people, and all of the people focused on the giants that were in the land. Result is, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't get to enter into the promised land. What was going on? Well, circumstances versus the promise of God. That's what was going on. Circumstances versus the bigness of God. That's what was going on. They chose to look at the circumstances. They chose to report the circumstances instead of focusing in on the bigness of God. What kind of spy are you? That's the question. What kind of spy are you? Are you somebody that reports on all the bad stuff that you see going on around you, which may be true? The giants were really there. But is that where the focus is supposed to be? Wasn't supposed to be the focus then. It's not supposed to be the focus now. The focus is on the bigness of God and what God has for us. Your perspective, my perspective, determines the future we're going to experience. Sounds new agey, kind of. But it's true. The perspective of Israel determined the experience they walked out for the next 40 years. Your perspective, my perspective, as I finish 2021, as I move into 22, my perspective is going to determine the experience I have. It's going to determine how it looks. It's going to determine what I see. It's going to determine whether the promises of God are grabbed hold of by faith, which brings them into the present. It's all connected. It's all connected together. We've got to be believers who can handle bad news with a good perspective. Let's look at one last verse, Psalm 23, verses 4 and 6. Psalm 23, verses 4 and 6, I'll read those if we don't have them. This is David. He says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death with COVID all around me, I fear no evil from Republicans or Democrats, from pharmaceutical companies, from doctors. You, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then skipping down to verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's going on there? You're seeing a person, David, who recognizes the realities of life, the valley of death, doesn't deny that it's there, but His focus is not on what can happen in the valley of death, but his focus is on what will happen with the victory that comes as his God releases his goodness in David's life. This is how we're supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to be living. So as you leave out this week, as you head out today and move into this week, understand the biblical principle is you harvest what you plant. You reap what you sow. That's Galatians 6, verse 7. It's the idea that as we sow into God's revelations, we reap from that hope that's going to take us through the coming weeks. Some specific things to do. Three. Number one, as you finish out 2021, I know Christmas is a busy season. It is around here. But make the decision that you're going to recharge your batteries, that you're going to recharge your batteries, that you recognize what drains you and you try to avoid it. You recognize what feeds you and you allow yourself to be fed. You create margins so that you can be refueled along the way and understand that right here, this Bible, that if you don't have one you're going to grab today, is one of the best ways to be refueled along the way. Number two, make the choice to consciously raise your expectations. Some of us, and I know how this goes because I do it sometimes, some of us try not to have expectations that are too high so that we don't get disappointed. And if you don't raise your expectations up too high, then you're not going to get disappointed. But that's not the way to live in faith. That's not the way to live in hope. We need to raise our expectations up. We need to raise our expectations up to the bigness of the promises that God has and understand that we're to believe God for the impossible. Jesus pretty clearly said, you get what you expect. You get what you expect. And if you don't expect anything, you're undermining the supernatural coming in your life. And then finally, number three, refocus on your future. Refocus on your future. There are things that we can learn from the past. There are things that we need to be healed from the past. But the predominant focus that we're to have is not on the past, but on the future. Don't live there. Don't live there. Don't live there. Look ahead to what God has coming again with expectations that are bigger than they were in 2021. Expectations, again, that glorify God. You and I have this choice as we end this year, as we begin the new year. Are we going to glorify God by placing our hope in his promises, or are we going to fail to glorify God by placing our focus and our fears in the circumstances that are surrounding us that don't look so good along the way? You know, the early church talked a lot about hope. Last thing, this is the last thing really. The early church talked a lot about hope, but almost every single time they talked about hope, you know what it was tied to? It wasn't tied to their healings. And we believe in healing around here, and we want to pray for it after the service today if you need it. It wasn't tied to their prosperity, and we love prosperity. We'll help pray for that too. Hope that they talked about was always tied to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The hope that they talked about, the hope that they put their focus upon, was in the fact that this life is short. Everybody's going to die of something, and then eternity is in front of us. Their focus was on proclaiming the reality of an eternity in heaven or hell. And the hope was, with them, having that eternal intimacy with the Father in the new kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, and the hope that they were able to win others along the way. That's where ours need to be too. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. Not in changing these circumstances that are going to all burn and be gone soon, but the ultimate is that hope that we have in what eternity is going to look like, the eternity we have, and who we can bring along by the grace of God as we move into the eternity to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you for the vision that your word provides for us individually, the vision that your word provides for us as a church, to be a missions base here in Kona, to be able to reach this community, to reach the islands of Hawaii, to extend your kingdom. We want to be people who see your will done on earth as it is in heaven through us. And we ask you to enable us to be people who are purveyors of hope, magnifiers, Father, of you, as we carry hope into 2022, as we refuse to be carriers of fear or magnifiers of the enemy's strategies to divide, to discourage, to bring death. We ask for your blessings on this, for your fresh filling now, Holy Spirit. We ask it in the power of Jesus Christ's name. Amen.